Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy's good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Hello, 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 and good afternoon, everybody. Got a couple of the guys from the band back together, missing another one. You know, we pick up one, we lose another one, but we're marching our way through the summertime. I'm Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepherd. Glad you can be with us. Chris is off this week. Rick is in his place on the other side of the glass. We have completed the World Cup. We have completed Wimbledon. That means it's 17 days until the Hall of Fame game and 40 days until the first college football game. We've got conference press conferences to talk about throughout the day. But you heard Pete at the top talk about it's the deadline. 2 more hours for the franchise tags. Some could be interesting. Probably some will be status quo. We'll get into that a little bit. T.O. over the weekend changed his story again regarding why he's not attending the Hall of Fame. This is why nobody likes him very much. Michael Irvin says good riddance. Tony Romo wins a championship on Sunday, for crying out loud. It finally happened. And Jameis Winston, a little tone deaf with his latest T-shirt. We'll explain all that. Speaking of tone deaf, LeVar Ball dissing LeBron already. That only took a week. We'll explain that. The Cardinals dismissed their manager, and we got the home run derby tonight. Our phone number is 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. You can follow me at Twitter, at Craig ESPN. You can follow Pete Shep at PeteShep326. Pete, how are you? Did you miss me? I'm here. I'm back.
I did. Seconds.
Just for seconds.
No, I did miss you. Glad you had it. Did you have a good vacay? Nice.
I got a little rest, did a lot of work around the house. For example, I'm still unpacking. I'm still doing things. For example, I power sprayed my pool deck and realized it's a completely different.
Oh, that's erotic.
Well, not really. But I realized that it's a completely different color than I thought. Yeah, that's all. It's all good now. It's nice.
Yeah.
So did that. It took me 3 visits to the DMV to get my Florida plates on my cars. Let's see. The first one we did, everything was good. Then I got a call from them the next day. You're like, what? You never get a call from the DMV.
No.
Yeah, we did something wrong with your title. You got to come back and sign stuff. So I'm like, fine, whatever. I'll bring my wife. So we come back. And they voided everything we had done the previous day.
Oh, come on.
And they're
all,
well, give me your information. I said, I gave it to you yesterday. I didn't know I needed it today. Then the machines were down. It was near 6 o'clock, and they couldn't take.
Which one did you go to?
One in Naples. Yeah, down north side. So, but, yeah, 3 days to get 2 license plates for my car. I did squeeze in some golf. I'm not doing as well as you lately. In fact, I'm in the market. I got to get some new golf shoes. Apparently, mine were getting a little old. I literally swung out
you
of my shoes.
You literally swung out of your shoes, you
yeah,
said.
Yeah, they broke. I need new golf shoes. I'm going to be picking up some of those. So anyway, it was a hodgepodge, stuff like that, but it was good. Spent a lot of time with the family and extended family as well. So how was your ride? I listened to the show a little bit, a few of the days.
Yeah,
the
show was good.
So,
yep. We had some good guests on last week. Kurt Schilling was on the program. Of course, Field was always good. And not a great week for the – it was an awful week for the NFL from a public relations standpoint. Awful.
Wow.
It was LeSean McCoy, and it got worse.
I'm sorry. But backing up, I'm sorry I missed Kurt. What was his hot button this week, because it's always fun to get him going?
Yeah, no, it was mostly about the state of the game. Of course, Ybor City and where the Tampa Bay Rays are trying to build a park that I don't think is ever going to get built. It's a nice, promise and a nice set of plans and everything. But who the hell's going to pay for that? But we talked to, this is the state of the game. A lot, obviously, the Red Sox, 38 games over 500 for the first time since 1949 at the All-Star break, which is insane.
It's disgusting.
And, it's good, but you're talking about between the Red Sox and the Astros and the Yankees and Cleveland, obviously, you're not going to be able to count them, but those three teams, Sox, Yankees, and Astros, just beating these bad teams into oblivion.
Yeah.
I mean, it's embarrassing.
And we're going to watch a good team play a bad team. We're taking a busload of people up on August 25th to see the Red Sox and the Rays and the Sheeman and Shepherd road trip. That'll be good.
Well, I'm surprised. Oh, so let me. So I had my low round of the year last week.
Now, before I left, you had cracked 90 and got to 89 for the first time ever. Are you doing better?
Saturday, I just killed it. I had 9 1 putted greens, which is unheard of for me.
One putts?
Yes, 9 1 putts. Some of them from a good 15 to 20 feet. I have two witnesses that I play with that will verify it.
Wow.
And I shot an 84. I had 41 on the front at Bonita National, 43 on the back. For an 84.
Yeah, when you first moved here, you were like me. You couldn't break 100.
No.
Now you're in mid-80s?
A year ago, 15 months ago, now my handicap is down to an 18.3.
It's fantastic.
It was a 22.6 a few months ago. But I'm offended because this great app, which is awesome, it's GHIM, but it's the Florida State Golf Association Incorporated app, which is it keeps track of everything.
Yeah,
and of course you're on the honor system. You put your,
sure.
And otherwise, what golf is a gentleman's game for that reason. So I had the 89 last week, and with a couple of lower 90s, and there are a couple of high 90s for me. Obviously, it takes into account. I go to put my 84 in on Saturday, and a little thing comes up and says, "Are you sure?" That score seems inconsistent with most of your previous scores.
You got a virtual fact check?
So I cursed at it and threw my phone at. No, I didn't. I said, yes, I'm sure I put it in. So
that is fantastic.
But I mean, it's bad enough when, some of your friends quit. Oh, and I thank God I had two witnesses that saw. But then the app is questioning my handicap now.
What, may I ask, are you doing on the greens to be so zeroed in?
Well, here's the thing. First, I've got my first two shot, my drives down. I drive the ball anywhere between 220, 200, and 240. So depending on the hole, what I want to do with it, whatever. But that's on the hole. I'm not hitting the ball more than usually on average like 225.
Right.
But my first two shots are dead on. I mean, I've got my long irons and my rescue club. I'm not flubbing any of those shots anymore. So I'm getting to the green, almost every one of them. If I'm not there in regulation, then I'm chipping on for par, okay, on par fours. And par fives, I'm almost on in regulation every single time. But our buddy, a good friend, Jack Ridge, worked with me on July 4th and one time after that about my putting and get the pendulum down and really work on just moving my shoulders. And I went and practiced for a couple hours one time after one round because I three-putted seven greens a few weeks ago, and I was so disgusted.
I remember that.
So disgusted. I still broke 100, but three-putted seven greens. And I just been taking it to heart. So it's
man, well, congratulations. Yeah. That's a good feeling. I think that's everybody's dream throughout the country. Someday I like to just pack it all in, move down to Florida, and work on my golf game. And you have.
I have. And I was going to play. The only thing I had a little drawback Saturday on my left shoulder, not my right one that hurt.
Uh-oh.
I was a little stiff when I got home Saturday night. It started to stiffen up a little bit. I was supposed to play Sunday morning, and I said, I'm not going to push it. I canceled, which is
good decision.
Hard for me to do. But so the wife and I went out to breakfast in Naples instead.
Very good.
So it is good. Now it feels great. So I'll play later on this week, Thursday or Friday, and then Saturday, Sunday again.
Well, congratulations.
And you and your dad are more than welcome to come join me this weekend if you like. I extend the invitation yet again.
Thank you very much. I know. You are very kind. I'm gonna go with Bonita National and see what that's all about.
But you did not obviously, you might not have seen it, but I thought this would affect you. I'm very disappointed that it hasn't.
You're
in an emotional way.
What happened?
Last night, I don't know if you saw, and I think it was in Las Vegas, but apparently you're just not as sensitive as I am, because I was moved to tears as assistant coach Lou made his way down to the bench to hug LeBron James in his purple and yellow shorts during the summer league game. Did you not see that?
I what I saw with
moved
the purple shorts, I a little too much of LeBron hanging out of the side of the shorts,
moved
if you know what I'm saying.
To tears. I'm a gentleman. I don't look at that.
But
Ty Lue moseyed his way on down to the floor where LeBron was, and the two exchanged a very emotional hug. Assistant coach Lou and LeBron reunited again.
Yeah, I'm sure it felt good. I was not moved. Now, what do you think LeBron's motivation is for going to this game? Is he scouting out the young Bucks? Is he bored? Why? Why is he going to?
Can't help himself. Ego.
Yeah?
I was going to say he's supporting the team, right? Supporting the young
Bucks.
Support the team. Yeah, that's just going to paint his face. Instead of the New Jersey Devils, it's going to be the Lakers.
Yeah.
But I think it's a whole bunch of reasons involved.
All right.
For him.
But well, later on in the show, I want to bust Papa Ball there, who again he says he could have beat LeBron.
What a tool!
Yeah, exactly. That's
I was going to put that as my kicker story in the Sports Center today, since I'm doing it for Christmas.
Well, you got three more.
I said, you know what? I'd rather read more golf pairings and give that tool any time more pub than he needs to be.
Yeah.
What an absolute tool!
Although
I don't think he's going to get hit by somebody in the Lakers organization. Could be Bill Walton. Could be Luke Walton. Could be LeBron James. Could be Rajon Rondo. That's my pick. My pick is Rondo and LaVar Ball.
Oh, you mean physically
will
hit.
Go at it. Yes. Okay. I think Rondo and LaVar Ball are going to have a big time war of the world.
Like in the tunnel on the way out into the locker room?
That'd
be awesome.
I don't know. All I know is I would not be surprised this year if LaVar Ball, I've been saying it for 2 years, gets banned from the Staples Center.
All right. Banned. Well, I
got from the store.
Later on, you're banned. Later on, I am going to get something off my chest. You may have covered it Thursday or Friday-ish about Magic Johnson and the lay. I don't want to get into it now, but something just, you know, that's the thing. When you're off for a week and you experience this the week before, you take little notes, things that just dig at you. You're like, man, why am I not on the radio today? I got to get these things off my chest.
But the one thing, when I was gone, and I remember when because you got the LeBron signing, I wasn't there that week.
Wow.
And I was almost dislocated my shoulder, patting myself on the back as I reiterated that all that nonsense about Magic and if I don't get it done after the second, I told you that whole thing was a ruse. He had that done, planned, no doubt. Now the Rondo thing was a little bit surprising, but as far as LeBron going there, that was done for a long time. And then I think the story you're talking about is, I called it the stalker story, where he hung out at his house for an hour in the driveway waiting for the clock to strike whatever it was, Pacific time, 9 o'clock Pacific, 9:01 Pacific time. So he'd go in and say, hey!
That did catch my attention, but that I have a spinoff on that. So we'll get it.
I love spinoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned we have the 4 o'clock Eastern deadline of the NFL, and this is where players that have been offered 1 year franchise tags, this is the last ditch effort if they want to get a long-term deal and not play for the franchise tag. It has to be done by 4 o'clock today. Otherwise, we have to move on and get on with the football season. The main one that we're obviously watching is Le'Veon Bell, who went through this last year and is doing it again with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I don't know about you, but it seems to me, I kept reading the tea leaves about a month ago or so, and both sides were saying all the right things. They felt like they were ahead of progress from the year before and that they would get something done. Still, there is nothing done here. And now Le'Veon Bell is going, well, fine, I just won't play the first half of the season. I believe he has to play before the midway point of the season, or he loses his year of eligibility toward his pension or what have you. But anyway,
$14.5 million he's supposed to make.
That ain't happening. He ain't sitting out half a season for crying out loud.
No way. What, last year was September 1st, right? When he came
back. And so, came back all swole, but not in football shape.
Well, yeah, he was didn't have an ounce of body fat on him, it seemed, but. Yeah, it took him about a month to get going, 3 weeks to a month to get going.
Now, your gut feeling right now at 2:16 Eastern Standard Time, do you think we will have an announcement that they have struck a deal, or do you think this is going to linger?
I'm 50-50. I'm leaning towards a no. Adam Schefter's reported. I guess they've had some cordial conversations lately.
Yeah.
But I don't think...
I think both sides should have taken the deal he was offered last July.
Absolutely.
That was a sweet 3-year deal, if I remember correctly, and he would have made more money doing it.
I'm on the fence. I'm 50-50. How about, I'm not definitive either way. Only because of reports, I think I just said, they've said there's been some, I'm not going to say progress, but at least it hasn't been hostile.
I'm 55-45 that there is a deal today that we will announce in the 4 o'clock hour. I don't know why. I have nothing to back that up.
Come on. You know what's going to happen. The deal will be done, but they won't announce it until 6:01 when Spain.
Well, good. Spain and Fitz can announce it to the world.
And they'll still be talking about game one of the NBA finals with LeBron. How that went down.
Oh, man. All right.
Oh, wait. And the other emotional thing that you feel, I don't know if you saw this.
Oh, I'm not emotional.
Another basketball / golf emotional moment.
What's that?
And you broadcasted, I think you broadcasted this event before in Lake Tahoe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So
do
you know what I'm about to say?
Because
Del Curry beat son Steph Curry. Both are very good golfers.
Yes, they are.
They are excellent.
Yeah.
But then the emotional moment of Steph Curry lost a bet, shame on you, to his father, Del, and had to jump into Lake Tahoe just so cold. And the ESPN announcer this morning said, so cold. But he did it twice. He went on top of the boat and jumped in also. They showed that about a gazillion times. Just what I want to see, Steph Curry jumping off a little diving board on a yacht. Into the frozen tundra that is Lake Tahoe.
I'm just glad he can swim because that would have been a whole bad day for the Warriors. Let me tell you something. They talk about how cold Lake Tahoe is cold. It's a whole nother kind of cold. It literally has ice cap mountains that melt into waterfalls that are about 33 degrees and they trickle down into the lake. And that's how the lake is beautiful and blue and pristine and all that. It is cold. Even in July, it is cold. But he jumped in there. I only have swam in that lake a couple of times. I couldn't do it. I had to head back out to the beach.
And before I forget, I got to give one of my new friends, I met this young man, Dave, and his girlfriend, Deb, right, at our club yesterday at the pool.
Yeah.
And we're yapping. I told him I would give him credit on the air for this. I told him I was going to steal. We were talking about football.
Yeah.
And somehow the Raiders came up.
Uh-oh.
And he made one of the greatest analogies of all time about Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders. He goes, he looks like a microwave John Gruden.
He does. He does.
I thought it was classic.
That is nice.
That's classic.
I mean, I still have visions of those two sitting next to each other in their press conference. With the same bowl haircuts and the same gray suits.
But think about that. Is that not funny?
Yeah.
A microwave version of John Gruden, Mark Davis, that creepy freaking guy that wears, like, you know, sweatpants and looks like a slob at his press conferences. You'd never think he's an NFL owner.
He needs a perm or something. Well, he is the poorest of the NFL owners, is he not? He's the non-billionaire. Yeah. He's a 700 millionaire.
Yeah.
Or whatever that is. So
I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
That was all my week. And thank God, SEC Network. God bless you, Peter Burns, who's going to join us at some point, maybe tomorrow or the next day, from Atlanta, where the SEC Media Day is happening. And it was such a great show. Him and Marcus Spears did such a great job. And they're going to be on all week. Thank God I can watch that in the morning. And not, get out of my face.
Is Florio still on vacation?
He's not still on vacation.
Good Lord.
He's still on vacation. But SEC Network in the morning, fantastic stuff. It really was. Ed Orgeron was on this morning with them. I peed my pants. The interview was hysterical.
Was he in his Cookie Monster voice?
Yeah, it was great. But some of the questions they were asking him about his secret recipe gumbo and some other stuff afterwards. It was just good. And in addition to the serious football questions. But
nice.
Ed was good. And he speaks later today at 4 o'clock for everybody.
How is it you go on vacation and come back, I go on vacation and come back, and Florio is still on vacation, and he was on vacation when we both left.
Well, he said next week. That's camps open up next week for most teams.
All right.
He'll be back next week.
All right. He's still cranking out material, though, on the website, but not doing the morning thing. All right. We'll continue to scratch. So just real quick note. So what? DeMarcus Lawrence probably going to remain franchise deal with the Cowboys. Not going to get a new deal, even though he had, 14 and a half sacks last year. Ziggy Ansah, I don't think this is any big surprise.
Ziggy!
As you know, I follow the Detroit Lions. He will play under the franchise tag. There will be no long-term deal for him. And why not? I mean, you got Matt Patricia there. This is his first year defense. Let's see how Ziggy does. And then we could talk about a deal. Although they may risk losing him. They may not want to pay him the big dollars because you don't pay non-quarterbacks that kind of money. That may be the theory that Matt Patricia works under. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But there's no need to do a deal this year. Yep. So they move forward. And there was another one, the Rams, right? There's only four franchise tags out there to keep. But the one to keep an eye on
the Rams with Marcus Joyner.
The
safety of Marcus Joyner. Nothing's going to happen there either. So they're all going to be free.
So Le'Veon Bell's really the only one we're going to keep an eye on between now and 4 o'clock.
Yeah. I'll head your way about 55-45 for Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah. All right. We'll see if we have any breaking news.
But I don't think it's going to be something crazy like $20 million a year or anything like that. I don't see that happening.
No, not at all. What was the deal he turned down last year? Was it
15 or 16, something like that?
Yeah.
He's going to make 14 and a half this year.
Yeah,
on the franchise tag.
I mean, what's a million and a half between friends? Come on,
absolutely.
Let's get on with it. Yeah, one hour, 39 minutes, and 29 seconds.
Oh, thank God! I thought they'd have a home run derby countdown clock with that.
But we could have that too.
Chris Sale has been announced the starter for the American League in the All Star game tomorrow night, third year in a row.
Wow. We, in our final segment, since it'll be the closest segment to the Home Run Derby, which we are carrying tonight on ESPN Radio here tonight, we're going to run down the list of guys. There are actually a couple of marquee names in it, but the rest of the guys you probably have never heard of or don't know much about. We'll run them down.
I'd say there's one marquee name. Well, all right, you count Freddie Freeman.
Yeah.
And the other six, there's only eight people.
Yeah. I know.
Nobody wants to do it.
I know. But
I'd rather them show a wiffle ball game.
I have an interesting theory as to why one of those players is doing that.
I like theories.
Well, I'll have to save it for the end
of the show. I have a feeling I know what your theory is. I won't say it.
All right.
I have a feeling.
Yeah, we'll save that for another 3 hours. We'll get to that. Put that on the back burner. When we come back over the weekend, Terrell Owens gave another reason why he's sitting out in the Hall of Fame. And these are the things that grind my gears and why we don't like Terrell Owens. But I will throw his argument right back into his face when we come back. How about that? Sheeman and Shepherd warming up on a Monday on 99.3 ESPN.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN, online at 99.3ESPN.com. Sheeman and Shepherd.
Hello and greetings, friends. If you're just tuning in, I'm Craig Sheeman, back from vacay, along with Pete Shepherd. Chris is out. We got Rick on the other side of the glass today. Glad to have him as well. Our phone number is 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. You want to call us, also the Stony Brook Golf Club text line. Again, the 4 o'clock deadline is looming for franchise tags, basically the Le'Veon Bell situation with the Steelers.
Hey, Adam Schefter just tweeted out something else. He's like, for Steelers and Le'Veon Bell to beat today's franchise deadline, they must submit the following to the NFL office, as you said, prior to 4 p.m. So, first, a net message reporting the signing. 2, an ECRS form. And 3, a PDF or fax copy of the contract signed by the club and player. They got an hour and 42.
So that
hour and 32 minutes.
If I'm reading between the lines, it's like if there isn't like an agreement between the two sides yet, it's not going to be on paper or ready to go by 4 o'clock. That's how I'm reading that. Yeah. Why else would he tweet that today?
Yeah. But I guess things can happen quickly. We've seen, but also we've also seen frightfully botched paperwork by some NFL teams in the past.
Yeah, you hear this, Cleveland?
I's aren't dotted properly, T's aren't crossed properly, and all of a sudden you end up with no contract.
That's right.
Cleveland.
Deadlines mean something. That's right. All right, so this is a story that bled over from when you were gone to when I was gone. Terrell Owens, as we know, decided he was going to turn his back on the Hall of Fame ceremony. Mm-hmm. And Terrell being very self-centered as usual. Then I don't know how you felt about it, but I almost was a little bit accepting of his previous answer as to why he was doing this. It was like, look, it was very un-Terrell Owens like, but he said, I want to do it at Chattanooga, my alma mater. I want to thank all the people that helped me there. They were more helpful for me than anybody in my career. I'm like, all right, do I accept this? Okay, fine, I accept this. If that's really what he wants to do. But his true roots are showing, obviously, as he's really doing this for all those that had to wait like him. Boo-hoo, he missed out on the first two on his third ballot. He gets in. That's a slap to his face. And I'm like thinking, come on, this is why people hate you, Terrell Owens. Yes, you were a great receiver, but you were a cancer in 6 locker rooms in the NFL, and none of them are there putting a party on for you at the Hall of Fame. None of them want to have anything to do with you. Jerry Kramer was in the freaking ice bowl. He's just now getting in, for crying out loud. Kenny Stabler died before he saw himself get in. How long did Lynn Swann have to wait? It's part of the deal.
It is. But I also think that the NFL Hall of Fame is not doing themselves any favors at all by not mentioning his name. Be the bigger man. Just mention his name. I mean, to be that petty and not mention his name?
I think they should take 10 seconds and mention his name. I agree with that.
Not to go into great. Just mention his name. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, treat it like somebody posthumously. He's just, all right, he's in.
Yeah, Terrell Owens, wide receiver.
Next. That's what they should do. Michael Irvin, though, agrees with the Hall of Fame stance. He's like, why waste any time of these guys that fought to be here? They're in the Hall of Fame. Why waste our time on a guy that's not here? I'm like you. Take a step further. Be the bigger man. Yeah. Mention him and then move on. And that will just emphasize what an idiot he is anyway, right? Be the bigger person.
And I mean, if you want to be bored to tears on the whole, watch some of these NFL speeches that just have, I mean, some of it's very sentimental.
There's usually one good one a year and the rest are horrible.
There's supposed to be a time limit. They never enforce it. And you end up, days and days and days, like the last, like the heads up in the World Series of Poker League, which bumped Wimbledon off the air yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because they were still playing all through the night.
Yeah, I remember when Wimbledon used to be a big deal back when I was a kid.
No, it's just they bumped it to ESPN. It was a big deal. No.
Six-hour matches are hard to do, watch.
But the Torello, it's just go away.
Yeah.
Go have your own, and he's going to do a digital press conference. He's going to have a digital ceremony.
Yeah.
At his house or wherever he's going to do it.
Well, I think he's doing it at the basketball arena at UT Chattanooga.
Yep.
He's going to do it at the Roundhouse. Yeah.
Good inside. For that.
Yep. Have a fun time. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Evan in Fort Myers, you're the first caller up this week. How are you?
What's up, Evan?
Pretty good, guys. Real quick, did you guys see how they handled the tiebreaker in the minor league all-star game?
Yes, with the putting the runner on second base.
That is fantastic.
Putting the runner on second base and
No. They picked two batters, one from each team, and they got 2 minutes to hit the ball.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
As much as possible. Yeah. It's, you know, the left field, right field, center field. I think it's great. I think it actually is more entertainment as far as baseball goes.
They're experimenting in the minors too with putting a runner on second base and doing it that way, which I'm not a big fan of doing that.
I'm not either. And listen, you know me. If you listen to this show, I'm the guy that likes the shootouts and all that kind of stuff. But I can't go there with baseball just yet. Like artificially putting a guy on second or artificially having some kind of hitting contest. I'm not there yet.
But Evan, to your point, like last week, and I think you called the Marlins, Craig, had one day the working low of the year, 5,235 fans. The game went into 12 innings. Evan, remember, at the end of the game, there were less than 300 fans at the stadium when the Marlins won.
There has to be some kind of roundup that kills these oak-like roots that baseball is trying to adhere to and come into the new generation, and unfortunately maybe the new gambling system will bring baseball back, but I can't tell you the last time I've watched a full baseball game.
Will you watch the Home Run Derby tonight?
No, absolutely not. The last thing I need to hear is Chris Berman talk more.
I don't know if he's doing it anymore. Is he still doing it?
I'm not sure he's doing it.
I basically have PTSD from a decade worth of watching Chris Berman sit there. But what I wanted to call about is, so this weekend, by far Sunday, in the past month and a half or 2 months, was the most watchable sports weekend I've seen in a while. I thought the World Cup, which I'm not that big of a soccer fan, but I thought the World Cup was extremely entertaining, and then I was able to switch right over to the Pro-Am, which Steph Curry's last shot on 18 was brilliant.
That?
He almost
holed out.
He almost beat his dad.
Yeah, but did you see what happened afterwards? He jumped in a lake in Lake Tahoe and because he lost a bet to Dell. But Dell's a real good golfer, too.
Yeah, I enjoyed watching Tony Romo play. I just thought, all in all, it was a really, really good weekend of sports without football.
And tennis, too. The Wimbledon was outstanding, especially the men. Outstanding.
It made it tolerable to have football off. Love the show, guys.
All right, thank you, Evan. Hey, only 17 days to the Hall of Fame game, by the way. But back to the Tony Romo. Twitter had a blast at Tony Romo's expense. Hey, Tony, what's it like to win a championship? Hey, Tony, you won a big one on Sunday. I will say this, all joking aside. I used to broadcast at that American Century Golf Tournament every year at Lake Tahoe. That's a thing. If you're a sports fan and you have the means to do it, you should put that on your bucket list. That is a great sports weekend in person, hanging out at Lake Tahoe, watching those guys. I mean, all walks of life, whether it's NFL players or NBA players, some great golfers from the past, some TV stars are out there. It's just a great low-key, chill weekend where you can be up close and personal with your favorite whatever, stars, players, whatever the case is. And it's a great event every year. It just gets bigger and bigger.
I want to play in it, though.
Well, you're well on your way to being respectable. You're now shooting in the mid-80s all of a sudden.
But that's still not, that's not going to cut it.
They do the modified Stableford scoring system out there. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so and $125,000 that Tony won is going to all local charities.
Because he wants to keep his amateur status.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know who, I forget her name, the actress that's suddenly gone crazy and lost, gosh darn it. She was on Melrose Place, TJ Hooker, who am I, who's the chick? Gosh dang it.
Oh, is she playing in this?
No, but she used to be dating Jack Wagner, who plays in it all the time and occasionally wins it, and, gosh, I can't believe I forgot her name. Heather Locklear.
Oh, Heather Locklear. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who's gone off
Heather,
the rails
yeah,
lately.
She has, yeah.
Yeah, I got to hang out with her from time in the past. And
she was
when Jack was
woman.
Winning. Yeah, she was. I got a picture with her somewhere. But, yeah, she's, her life is somewhat gone off the rails.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a tad. just a tad.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. So that, so between football, between T.O., Tony Romo over the weekend, are we all caught up with Papa John? And that happened at the end of last week.
Yeah, everybody disassociated himself. And it's funny because guys like Bomani Jones, who can't talk about anything about race, didn't seem offended by it. It just, look, he was quoting somebody. I mean, and he said, but he still, you can't say it.
No.
You know, you can't. I know he did. He wasn't saying. He said.
Was he said he was told to say it as part of a training exercise? And this is with the University of Louisville, by the way. This because he was on the board there, and then they took the Papa John's off of the football stadium. But now Papa John's the organization, the company. They're squeezing him out, and kicking him out of the headquarters, even though he founded the company, and then he had to step down from the CEO role months ago. And then also over the weekend, squeeze in there, he ripped on Roger Goodell before things got really hot on him here this weekend. Says, yeah, we just don't want to do business with Roger Goodell anymore. So they're trying to skirt the overall NFL and do things individually with teams that'll still take them. But I mean, Papa John's, it's a tough product right now with what he did, right? I mean, that's a bad deal for that.
But the Falcons, the Yankees, obviously the NFL, there's every organization. I saw, I don't know, 9 or 10 organizations that had an affiliation with them all say, nope, not anymore.
Backing off.
Yep.
Go with Domino's and Pizza Hut or something or some local franchise. All right. Yeah, I met him once upon a time. He used to come around Radio Row all the time. You've probably seen him.
He was in Naples about 6 or 7 months ago. My friends bumped into him downtown.
Oh, he's got a place down here, I think. Or hangs out down here. Yeah. Everybody's got a place down. Everybody's got a second place down here. I'm still working on I got my first place.
Man.
He gave me free pizza. He gave me a $50 gift card to Papa John's. He says, here. Go
Fantastic.
Get pizza whenever you want.
Yeah. He did that to my friends last year when they met him too.
Yeah.
Gave him $2 gift cards.
Oh, that's what he does.
Yeah.
He hands out gift cards. I'm Papa John. Yay. Now look at you. A year later, you're, nobody wants to touch you. All right. Coming up, we're going to take a trip down Sound Street to kind of recap the weekend. And when we come back at the top of next hour, still plenty more football. Jameis Winston, apparently, have you heard about this T-shirt?
Yeah, I mentioned it Friday.
Yeah. All right.
At least he wasn't wearing it. It was his trainer that was wearing it.
Okay.
Some SEC stuff to tell you about too. Everything's going on. Alabama's going to have walkthrough metal detectors. Tell you about that too.
At the football games?
Yep.
Ooh.
Yep.
All right. All that coming up. It's Sheeman and Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me.
Who was talking about you?
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sound Street brought to you by Optimal Male Performance Center in Naples, helping men stay in the game and live healthy, happy lives. Check them out online at optimalmale.net. We'll start it out with the biggest event around the globe yesterday, the World Cup Final, France the winner over Croatia. Here's your final call.
This is a generation of young men that grew up in the ghosts of 98, chasing those ghosts, being told about the history, trying to live up to that history. And they have now made their own history. A last look at the watch from referee Nestor Pitana. A final whistle. France have won the World Cup.
I finally got to sit down and watch probably the last 20 minutes. So I missed all the action there yesterday.
I watched it sparingly. I saw the first goal, the first, 13 minutes, and didn't watch a lot of it after that. Then watched the most of the last, say, 25 minutes. Saw the France goalie give it up.
Yeah. Got an 82 share in France. I haven't seen it. I've been looking. American numbers. I'm just, again, curious if it was a thing. Wasn't much else competing against it, but still, just without an American team throughout the whole process, ratings were down overall 42% in the United States.
Yeah, if England had reached the finals, probably would have got better ratings in this country. But, I mean, look, there's a lot of people that were rooting for France yesterday. I get it.
Yeah.
Croatia would have been a big underdog. They weren't as big an underdog as I thought they'd be, but.
Really? How much?
They were.
Enough to make it interesting for
you? Minus 110, minus 105, whatever it was. It wasn't, it was almost an even pick game.
I have to say, I know Chris isn't here today to defend or tout soccer, but I will say overall, my World Cup experience as a typically non-soccer person was very positive. I actually enjoyed some of it. I enjoyed coming in here every day, having it on. It was kind of cool. I liked it overall.
It was good. A lot of matches went to penalty kicks, and obviously not in the knockout round. So Russia was a big surprise. The host country getting as far as they did.
Well, it was a scam.
But
they fix elections. They fix.
Putin said he didn't do that.
I know. Putin and Trump are together today. He gave him a soccer ball. Did you see that?
Yeah, Trump's with him with his Wonder Woman magic lasso to compel him to tell the truth. See if he does.
He tossed him a soccer ball in a press conference, and they says the ball is in your court. That's good.
Those cookie presidents, boy, they really know how to party.
Anyway, yeah, I thought the fix was in Russia making it so far as they did. All right, that wasn't the other big event. We had the Wimbledon men's final, and Djokovic defeating Anderson. Here's the final call.
Game set match. Djokovic. 3 sets to love. 6-2, 6-2, 7-6.
Novak Djokovic is back at the pinnacle of Wimbledon, at the peak of his powers. The wire-to-wire winner.
So he comes back from surgery to win. Serena Williams has a baby, gets back to the finals.
But Anderson, we were here Friday. That match, that fifth set, 26-24, was absolutely incredible. And Chris and I were kind of giving the play, but it was just, you're just waiting for somebody, the exhaustion, 6 hours and 36 minutes, and somebody to break serve. So the fact that Anderson lost isn't too much of a surprise, but the fact that he was even around just to be competitive after what he went through on Friday was ridiculous.
Yeah. I can't do 6 hours. I just can't. It's too long. You talk about baseball being too long.
I don't even sleep 6 hours.
I used to watch Wimbledon every year when I was a kid, just out of curiosity, just the big sporting mm-hmm. event. And of course, we only had four channels at the time, and it was always on, and that was it. And I used to watch it. I don't watch it as much anymore as an adult.
But there were some epic 5-hour matches between Borg and McEnroe back in the day. And obviously, breakfast at Wimbledon, with the ladies back then. I mean, Tracy Austin and, Chris Everett.
Yep.
That was big, big names to watch.
Meanwhile, the baseball season it's more than half over, but it's the All-Star break nonetheless. No games tonight. We've got the Home Run Derby tonight, All-Star game tomorrow in our nation's capital. Over in the competitive AL East, the Yankees, 4.5 back behind your Red Sox. Aaron Boone says, I can't worry about the Red Sox right now.
No. Not at all. There's nothing we can do about it. We got the Mets. That's our next up, and that'll be what we focus on. And hopefully, you get some cooperation standing wise. But I mean, you drive yourself crazy in July trying to keep track of that. And it's just take care of our own house and hopefully start with a good series and a good game Friday against the Mets.
Okay. I know I'm not going to worry about them, but I'd keep an eye on them.
Well, they have three games in hand on the Red Sox, too, as well. But I still think it's going to come right down to the wire. I don't care what anybody says. The story of the year for me, this part of the season, talk about a sequel or another movie. I don't know how Billy Beane's doing it. I don't know how that team is 13 games over 500. I don't know how they're only three games out of a wild card spot, meaning the Oakland A's. They have four people that go to every game. The Marlins have five. It's unbelievable how that team is where they are with about a $53 million, $54 million payroll. It is incredible what they're doing. I don't know how he does it.
I thought other than Billy Bean, I thought the story would have to be the Atlanta Braves, which nobody is really paying attention to baseball.
Yeah, and the Phillies to an extent as well. They're both in the same boat, both about a year ahead of schedule. I mean, it's a nice race, and they're both basically tied.
Are the Phillies going to end up with both Machado and perhaps Bryce Harper at the end of the year? I don't know. I think they're going to make a serious run for both of them, and we'll see how quickly.
Most disappointing team, and I know they've had 900 man games of injuries as the Nationals. I get it.
Literally? 900?
Yeah, 900 man games.
They wow. Lose,
yeah. Assurance was starting for them in the National League for the All-Star, which we expected, and against Sale.
Okay. Meanwhile, on the lighter side, Vera Cavalieri, the wife of Jay Cutler and her reality TV show each and every week, providing fodder. She throws Jay Cutler under the bus for his lack of romance.
I want to know more about when you guys first started dating. What was Jay like?
No one is. You're going to hit.
Jay was actually incredibly sweet. That was the man that I fell in love with, writing me love emails and love letters when I'd be in LA because it was long distance.
Jay has this image, this persona, but Jay has no game. Let me just put that on record. I don't know how he got me, but he has no game. I have much better game than Jay. Trust.
I'd come in town, we would have so much fun together, and then I don't know what happened.
You decided to go to bed at 8:45 right now. Let's go. You're up.
So when she says he has no game, is she referring to his professional football game or his wooing skills?
I don't know.
All right. That's what reality TV is all about.
Read between the lines, I guess.
I guess.
Or between the bed sheets. Whatever.
Whatever. All right. That is Sound Street. Coming up, we have more football to talk about. Jameis Winston in the news. So we'll follow up on that from over the weekend and get into some SEC talk. It's that time of year. I mean, the SEC Media Days made a lot of news last year. We'll see what's going on this year. All that coming up. Sheeman and Shepard, Hour 1 in the books on 99.3 ESPN.